again to have Brother Larry Brown with us, pastor of the Victory Baptist Church down in Augusta. Been coming this way a good long while now, amen. And I'm grateful for the Lord strengthening him here in these last several days. And we're excited about what the Lord's going to do, amen. If he doesn't do anything but get up and sit down and grunt, it'll be fine with me, amen. We're glad to have you, Doc.
Amen.
Clear you off of space. Let her rip.
All right. What a joy and a thrill to be able to be here with you. Aren't you glad that you're able to do anything? If you're 60 years old here tonight, you just better thank God you ain't already been waylaid by somebody. And God's been good. And I want to just say how much I appreciate all of you. I thank the Lord for you. I appreciate the privilege of being around you. There's preachers here that can preach as well as anybody needs to hear it. There's people who can do for God as much as anybody can do for him. I'm glad when I come to this meeting, you're not trying to jockey for position or impress anybody or brag on your Baptist affiliation or the lack thereof. I'm just glad and thankful that God lets us be together and just be ourselves. I appreciate Brother Moneyham. I'm glad for his friendship. I appreciate the years that he was at Trinity and also now here at Holly Springs and doing a great job. And let me say this, if you got something against him, wait till I get out of town to find out about it. That's all I ask. Don't tell me nothing about it, because I got enough trouble. I'm already shaking. I don't want to have to shake on your head. All right, I'm trying to control myself, and I just need your help. And I want to say what a joy and a privilege it is to see his leadership in getting all this done. All you men that help, God bless you. All you churches that sent money, thank God it takes us all. And I appreciate it. But there's leadership. Always remember this. Everything rises or falls, not on money, not on people. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And if you don't have leadership, nobody's following you. If you're not a leader, you say, how can I tell if I'm a leader? Look behind you. Is anybody following you? You ain't leading nobody. You ain't no leader. It ain't hard to figure out. That's all you got to do. Check both sides. And God will help you and encourage you. Well, little old boy back there, a few minutes ago, I was back there. He said, Mama, has the preacher went to work for McDonald's? I looked at him. He said, that thing on your head looks like McDonald's guy that hands stuff out them windows. So I have impressed one young boy. If I don't impress nobody else. Jake wore a coat tonight. He's with me. He wore a coat tonight. Somebody said, why don't you have a coat on? I said, the Bible says if you got two, give somebody one. I just got real spiritual and gave both mine away. So I'm not going to sweat if I can help it, but if I do, I'm not going to burn up. A joy to have you. Pray for Joe. Pray that God will bless Joe next week. He called me today. He said, if you do better than I do, I'll kill you. Don't you make me have to come up there and preach behind God doing something great. I said, okay, Joe, I'll pray like this. God, don't let nothing happen while I'm there. And when Joe gets there, let less happen. Because I ain't praying for him. I'll pray with him, but I ain't praying for him. I've done been around him too long. Get your Bible and go anywhere you want to. Jake's going to read our text for us. Jake's been with me 6 years on the road. C.T. Townsend was with me for 3.5, almost 4. We had the Carolina Youth Rally at our place on Saturday. Had almost 2,000 kids packed in an auditorium, and they had 27 walk down and give their heart to Jesus. Amen. After the preacher preached, and Brother C.T. just lit it up. And I thank the Lord for this one over here. He can preach, he can flat out go after it too. I don't let them stay in my car and feed them hamburgers if they ain't gonna preach. usually the ones that hang around me are fat. Because I preach, I feed them. They eat good and they preach good too. And I love to be around them. And I appreciate them. Give me Acts 4, what is it? 31, that's it.
Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness.
Why don't we ever hear about that speaking the word of God in boldness instead of speaking in tongues? Because it's easier to buffalo people and bamboozle people when something that you can see.
That's all right, Doc.
Not something that you have to do and trust God for. So tonight I'm gonna use a little prop. I got this message at the doctor's office. I stay there enough to where I get a lot of studying. I'm gonna move my books to the university hospital if they let me, all right? Because that's about where I get most everything I got. I have a neurologist. That's a brain doctor. I don't have to have him much. He don't deal with me much. I got other kinds too. But he told me the other day, he said, what is the one thing you having a problem with? I said, energy. Every day I go home at 5 o'clock and sit down in a recliner and don't get up till the next morning at 7. There's something about that recliner that just says, ooh. It just beckons me, you know? Having strength and energy. I turn 71 soon, and it's hard to find any kind of vitality at all. I run around with young people trying to think that'll make me young, and I can't keep up with them, and I get mad and cuss them all out. just strength. He said, listen, let me tell you something. He said, go over to Walmart and get you some Boost. Boost. I went over to Walmart. He said, it's a nutritional drink with proteins in it. He said, it'll help you about the time you get home just to drink one in the morning and drink one in the evening when you come home and see what it does. So I went over there and got it. And I looked on the bottle. My wife has taught me to look at ingredients. She hadn't taught me to do that for weight. She's just trying to get me not to eat no arsenic because I don't know nothing about nothing but just put it in my mouth. And I looked at it, and the first there's 5 things on here about this product. I'm going to preach every night on one of them, so we're not going to be long. Why? Because I ain't got no strength. I just told you why. I looked on the Boost, and I said, I wonder what he's got me drinking. So I looked at it, and it says, shake well. Shake well. So I started shaking it well. You get 6 of these in a pack. I stopped over at the Walmart over here behind Chick-fil-A, and they didn't, half of them didn't even know what I was talking about, but there's the little slim, wormy-looking people. So I went and found one of those hefty people. Them hefty folks know where the stuff is. And I found out that it says to shake well. Why? Now, this is deep. This is theologically deep. Because everything good settles to the bottom when it's on the shelf. And if you drink it without shaking it, you're just drinking part of the liquid, the water in it, and you're not getting not only are you not getting the taste out of it, you're not getting the protein out of it. So you gotta shake well to get a boost. Every year that guy comes by there. Every year. He's probably got his mother-in-law in there. Say amen. He's taking her somewhere where there ain't no hospital. Because I didn't see one out here. Boost. What do we need God to do here this week? We need for the Lord to spiritually invest a boost in us. And give us a pickup. I need a pick-me-up. I need a help and an encouragement in my life to boost my heart and boost my strength Because doing what I do and being who I am and doing you doing what you do and being who you are, the last time he came here and got the preacher's wife, remember? Thank God they gone. Boost. Every one of us need for God to pick us up. The word boost means to lift or to push or to energize. And that's exactly what we need. We don't need to come down here to be someone sitting on a pew. We need to come over here and find out that God has something for us and in us so that we might become who he wants us to be and not what we ourselves want to become. Every one of us need the Lord's mercy. We need for the people who are leaders here to be encouraged to keep this place going, to be encouraged to see God do great things, and to be encouraged after we leave here not to want to quit and not come back. Every one of us need the Lord to reach further down than we can reach up. We need for God to move in and help us and to boost us into a place of encouragement, into a place of edification, into a place of strength. So we're going to talk tonight about being boosted up or boosted in our nutrition, in our need, and in our health. I want you to look, if you will, at that verse, and I'm going to let him to read it one more time for you, and we're going to look at it and try to take it apart. Brother Jake?
Acts 4 and 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness."
Say it one more time.
"And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness."
All right. I want you to pray with me, and I want you to pray for me. I'm going to be real selfish. I don't want you to pray for your children. I don't want you to pray for your neighbor. I don't want you to pray for your preacher. I don't want you to pray for your church. I want you to direct every word you say to God tonight right here. I need God that bad. I need his help to overcome. I need his encouragement and his presence to deal with me and help me. I know what can happen. I know what the devil is about. I know what demons like to do and devils like to do to meetings like this. So I'm going to ask you to pray for me and plead the blood over this place, that at every exit the demons of hell would find a way out of here. And they wouldn't hang around in here for a minute, all right? Bow your heads with me. Holy Spirit of God, I ask you through the power of the Holy Spirit tonight to glorify Jesus through our lives. I'm not concerned about what somebody says about my goodness. I'm not concerned about what somebody might say about my ability. But I am concerned about these people getting what they need. I am concerned about these people becoming what God wants them to become. I'm standing with the book open. I'm standing with my heart open. I'm standing, Lord, trusting you and hoping in you that God will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm asking you through the name of Jesus to bind every spirit that's not of God. I pray that you bind every devil that's in this place, every spirit that's in this place that's not of God. You said try the spirit to see if they be of God. For every spirit that has gone out is not gone out in God's name. But I'm glad God's name can run every spirit out that's not of God. I ask you to touch deacons. I ask you to touch women. I ask you to touch teenagers. I ask you to touch preachers. And I ask you, oh God, to touch me. And let me tonight be free and free indeed. Turn loose. Let go. And free in God to do the best I can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. America needs a stirring of God. Churches need for God to stir them. I need to be stirred up. I'm here this week not just to do. I am here this week to become. I want the Lord to do for me until I become who He wants me to be. I'm not here trying to outdo. I'm not here trying to undo. All I'm trying to do is get God to do something that I need for Him to do. We all need help. We all need encouragement. And we all need the Lord. So, every one of us ought to get us a boost this evening. And we need to shake up some things in our life. We need to stir up some things in our heart because of the benefits that we get out of it. There's benefits in that bottle. There's benefits in this place. And there's benefits in stirring yourself. Paul said to Timothy, stir up 1:6. Stir up, 2 Timothy 1:6. Stir up the gift of God that is in you. Stir it up. You can't let it settle. You can't let it move to the bottom. You can't let it sit still. You got to shake it up before you drink it. I want to taste good to God when He needs somebody to taste good to God. I want to be around where God needs to have a little taste of something good. And He say, come here, Larry, I love you. And I can say, yes, Lord, I love you too. And He can say, I want to tell you your life is tasting better. And I want to say, God, you're tasting better than ever before. I'm glad, thank God, that there is a boost here and there is some help and some encouragement for all of us. And there are three benefits to it. Number one, write this down somewhere. There is a passion that will excite you if you get a boost. There's some of us are not excited. We don't have any passion. Our passion has been misplaced. We like a girlfriend better than we like a God friend. Hello, ain't nothing wrong with a girlfriend. Thank God, I hope every boy in here wants one. I hope you don't want a boy for a girlfriend either. Because I ain't got no help for you. I'll do everything I can to undo that one. But I want to say, thank God and the Lamb forevermore, there needs to be an excitement. There needs to be an overcoming jubilation. Hallelujah. Thank you for praying for me. I feel black and Pentecostal at the same time. I'm glad, thank God, for that excitement that comes with passion. A passion that comes with excitement. An excitement that drums up passion. Thank God for people who are eat up with something besides cancer. Thank God some people are eat up with something besides ego. And they're eat up with something besides self. Some people are eat up with passion. Some people love the Word of God. They're passionate about praying. They're passionate about standing for God. They're passionate about the Holy Ghost. I'm glad to know, thank God, I can hang around with some people from Hendersonville and some people from over at Lumberton and other places. Praise God, we still got us some love. We still got us some heartfelt God in us, and we're not about to give it up to this worldly crowd. We're not to take second place to anybody. We can stand and say to the glory of God, I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. Amen goes right there if you'll put it there. Thank God for passion, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost passion. Let everything that breathes or hath breath praise the Lord. Why don't we have, I travel this country all the time. Why don't we have people praising God anymore? Why don't we have people that will quit being laid back and say, it's not my personality. It wasn't my personality either till God jumped in with both feet and showed me I was a sinner. And He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I said, whoop! Whoop! Hallelujah. Before you know it, I was doing double back flips and didn't know how. Just praising God and thanking Him. But why? Because I was breathing. The Bible says, let everything, that means the women, everything, that means the men, everything, that means all of us, that hath breath, are you breathing? If you're breathing, you owe God a hallelujah. You owe God an amen.
You owe God a praise the Lord. I'm glad to know, thank God, hallelujah, that he is worthy of all acceptation and worthy to be praised and glorified, sick or not, well or not, wealthy or not, broke or not, can't happen or not, can't do it or not. Jesus is still the greatest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name that I know. Give the Lord praise in the tabernacle tonight and say amen. I'm going to have to drink that boost. The scripture teaches us in Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth. Listen. Notice what he says. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Thank God for life. I was looking at the monitor back there, and the brightness, the overwhelming brightness that was in there. All these lights are new. Some of them are colored and some of them are not. But they're all new. And it's bright in here. When you turn it on, there's light. I want to tell you that God wants your life lit up. And God wants your life to glorify and glow and enjoy him. And he said, you that are asleep, wake up. What do we want to see happen here this week? We want to see some folks that ain't awake to wake up. I'm talking about some Baptists are snoring in church now. I mean, I can be preaching and hear them in the back. It's time for us to wake out of sleep. It's time for us to call on the Holy Ghost. It's time for us to let the Holy Spirit of God empower us in such a way we'll never get over it. Bless his name. Somebody holler amen right there. You're helping a sick boy preach. I appreciate you. Thank God, thank God, thank God. The Word of God teaches us that we ought to get. Read, Brother Jake, if you will, verse 15 and those verses right after 14. Just read them.
Yes, sir. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, woo, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Got to get with it.
Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord.
Don't be crazy. Don't be ignorant. Listen to it.
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms,
talking
and hymns,
to yourself,
and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I was in Walmart not long ago. And it hit me how saved I was. It hit me what God had done for me. It hit me how wonderful and how gracious and how good God can be. And I just stood in there and started rejoicing. Big old tears run down my face. I have a shoulder that I can't raise on this side because of the Parkinson's. But I still got one left, hallelujah, that I can get high enough for God to see it. And I'm believing him to let the other one get loose one of these days real soon. And I throw both of them up. I did it in church the other night like they died. I mean, sometimes you can praise God till it hurts. But I'm standing in the middle of that Walmart saying how good God's been to me. God called me to preach 50 years ago. I said hallelujah to his name. I'm glad when he looked down and saw me, he saw a nobody. He looked down and saw me, he saw a nothing. He looked down and saw me and saw somebody that needed him. And he came to me where I was, gave me what I needed, and empowered me with the power of God. And I can say without any doubt at all, the greatest name I've ever heard is not Eisenhower, Reagan, or Obama. The greatest word I've ever heard is Jesus. 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 Somebody give him praise. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Number one, here's a benefit. It's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with her. She's just getting some things right. That's okay. Thank God. I'm glad to know that there is a passion that will excite you. Did you know you can get excited about Christianity? It's lethal. It's wonderful. If I can't feel it, and if I can't sense it, and if I can't express it, I don't want it. But I'd like to announce to you tonight, I feel it, I express it, and thank God, I'm glad God is letting me use it. Over in the little town of Kannapolis, North Carolina, there's a boy over there that his name is Mike Edwards. He pastors Piedmont Baptist Church. He started it 8 years ago. I go over there every March and preach two nights every March. Been over there for years and years and years. I was in a meeting just much like this one in Greensboro. That boy was working in a church there in the area of Concord and the racetrack. He was working in a ministry there. He came with somebody to the meeting in Greensboro where I was preaching that night. And he walked down the aisle after the church service was over and came to the tape table to me. I was sopping wet. He came up and he said, "Preacher, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yes, sir, you can." He said, "I don't know exactly what God wants to do with me, but I'd like to." He said, "Do you believe God wants me to?" I said, "I promise you this, if God is digging around in the garden spot of your heart and trying to grow something for the glory of God, I want to tell you it's important to you, it's important to God, and it's important to me." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I want to know exactly what my passion is." We got down on the floor and prayed. He hugged me, and I thought he was going to choke the breath out of me. He said, "Pray for me, preacher. I think God's calling me to preach." I said, "Oh, make sure. Don't get caught up in the moment. Don't you get caught up in the emotion. Don't get caught up in what you think. You need to know when God does something that prominent and that powerful. You need to know that it's God." He grabbed me around the neck. I said, "I hope he finds out soon, because he's just about to kill me." And he come up off that altar slinging snot and shouting, and just a timid little old boy. I'm maybe 21 or 2. Just got married. He went over there to Kannapolis and started. He had 6 the first time they met. Just a handful. We were over there in March, and he had 800. He's been going about 7 or 8 years. He preaches with passion. He preaches with enthusiasm. Thank God for choirs. Thank God for music. Thank God for the old Red Book hymnal. Thank God for Amazing Grace. Thank God for fellowship. Thank God for each other. Thank God for the churches around. Praise God for those people who make them up. But ladies and gentlemen, if we don't start exalting preaching, old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching, this country's going to hell and down the tubes, because it's the Word of God. It'll always be the Word of God. And Jesus said, "Preach it when they like it, and preach it when they don't. Preach it when it's fun, and preach it when it's gruesome. Preach it, let it rip. Preach it, let it go. Let it move." Old Spurgeon said this. He said, "You don't have to worry about the Word of God. It's like a lion. Turn it loose. It'll take care of itself." You ain't got to take care of the Bible. Turn it loose. I guarantee you, it'll eat everything coming and going. Preach. He called me this morning. We talk every week. He said, "I'm still at it." I said, "I checked on you." I texted a boy yesterday and said, I was with Mike Edwards in a meeting. He said, "That boy's doing a great job over there at Piedmont." I said, "He sure is." And I hung the phone up and just wept. I said, "God, let me pray with him. God, let me get out on my knees and love on him. Don't ever walk by anybody, because the person you may walk by is the next person that could be in the ministry.
Yes, sir.
God hadn't called us to be selfish. God hadn't called us to be backward. God hadn't called us to be standoffish. God has called us to get in the middle of people's stuff and pray for them and pray with them and pray that God will use them. And God did that. What happened? I asked Mike the other day, I said, what happened over there with you in that ministry that it exploded like it did? He said, that night you prayed with me, God gave me passion. He said, I can't go on vacation. I can't go nowhere and not want to go back home. He said, I do go because of my family. He said, but I just can't wait to get back home. He said, to get in that pulpit on Sunday and preach is a wonderful thing. He's built 3 auditoriums in the time they've been over there. Just going after it with passion. Where is the passion that God's people ought to have? Where is the passion we used to have? People used to come to this meeting with passion. People used to be around these meetings with passion. Oh, we got more to be passionate about now than we used to. We used to be passionate over our sin. We used to be passionate over our sin cleansing. We used to be passionate over those things that mattered. The Word of God meant something. Praying was you expecting God to move. You was looking for God to do something. Now we just sort of hum-haw around. We just sort of Piccadilly. We just sort of play with it. We just sort of do as we please. God is still God. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Who wants your passion back? Who wants your love back? Who wants the goodness of God working in your life? I hope so, because you're going to need it before we get out of here. Passion. Everybody say that with me. Passion. Say it out loud. Passion. Oh, for passion. I've been 42 years in the same pulpit. And you know why I'm still there? Because I am still passionate about it. They're about tired of me, but I don't care. It don't bother me a lick. They throw me out tomorrow. If I hear it by telegram or email that they don't want me to come back, I just go over to that motel, get my stuff together, and say hallelujah to God. I made it 42 years, and thank God I did it by passion, and I'll have passion for something else tomorrow. Amen. Why? Because it's not based on the ability of men to stamp you with a rubber stamp, but it is God's business to put in you what it takes to get out of you so that he might get glory and you influence people. Let me ask you a question. Have you got any passion? Will you come up here and ask God for some? I love my wife. I'm glad you do. I love my children. Me too. I love my grandbabies. Oh, my goodness. I think we ought to have all of them first. I love them too. Some lady asked me in the back. She said, this is my grandbaby. I said, all mine are grand. And I hadn't gotten any great ones yet, but I'm looking for one or two of them before I go out. Passion. If you can't have passion, your product is not going to be powerful. Number two, let me give you the second thing, and I'll go through this quickly. Number two, not only a passion that will excite you, but there's also problems that will educate you. There are problems. If you won't a bunch of people to despise you, get right with God. Just go ahead and get right with God. And ask God to give you something they don't want. And that's passion. Some of the most passionate people I know are some of the most questioned people I've ever met. People question, who does he think he is? What does he think he's doing? Yang, 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 yang. Sound like a Kawasaki with a broke muffler. Every one of us need to understand passion. When we see it in somebody's heart and a young man has it or a young man gets it, an older preacher like myself don't need to try to do anything but pump him up. Encourage him. Let it rip, potato chip. Give it to God and move in the power of the Holy Ghost and watch him do something for you that he's never done before. But if you really want God to do something in your life, look out. Somebody ain't going to take to it.
Right.
And I found out that the deeper you go with him, the more shallow people around you act. But I'm glad I don't have to be like the people around me, because I can change movements.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I like to get around young preachers that are not ashamed of the gospel. I like to get around people who are not afraid to shout in the grocery store. I've got some down at my house are pickled crazy brain. They're as crazy as a bat. They'll see me way down at the end on food line. Preacher! That's my preacher. Everybody in the place. You can go to Outback and they'll give you one of them little things that lights up and crawls across the table. You know the best way to get rid of that is just get right out there in the middle of them and say, can I testify for about 3 minutes? Whew. All of a sudden, you got a table on the porch and the manager hanging over it saying, sir, can I help you? Yes, sir. You can bring me a steak and a glass of tea. And those people that left, they won't be back until I'm gone. Don't worry about them. They're all right. Problems. Problems. You will never have real issues that are problematic in your life as long as you do nothing. But if you ever do anything over and above ordinary, Jesus said this. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it above the commonplace. That's what abundantly means. Above the commonplace. If you're satisfied to sit, soak, and sour and do nothing, Satan will just egg you on. Easy, don't worry about it. Don't get up and go that all. It's just, sit down. That crazy man up there ain't going to help you. He's going to be gone in a little while. You won't have to worry about it anymore. Just sit still. Be easy. But you get up in a meeting somewhere and say, thank God I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I promise you he'll put a demon on your trail. I promise you he'll do everything he can to explode in your biscuits. He'll do everything he can to tear you down. But I come to tell you there's more abundant living in Jesus Christ than there is tear me down in the devil. The devil can tear you up, but Jesus is still going to build you up. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. Don't let it suffer loss. Let it rip.
Amen.
And don't be afraid to be passionate when problems come. Difficulties come. Oh, God, help us. Joseph dreamed and spent time in prison for it. Job lost everything he had for walking with God. You say he got it all back. Yeah, but he went 42 chapters in a mess.
In a mess.
In a mess.
Preaching,
why? He was a passionate believer. Give me the trouble tied to passion. I'll take passion and trouble, because passionate people will lose trouble after a while. Ooh, that's good preaching if I am. Hallelujah to God. Jeremiah was put in a pit. John lost his head over doing something for God. And I promise you, some people will look at you funny. And they'll look at you cross-eyed. And they'll look at you and say, what in the world are we supposed to be doing with this guy? What can we do with this preacher or with this one? Why in the world we got to do anything? Listen to me. Passionate people will have problems. But problems are educational. Since I've been here last, some of you guys, there's a couple of you boys took churches. And I'll eat at your table. I have been around a while. That little old girl that sang over here, she was about that high last year. And they told me she's 17. Lord God, how'd that happen? I've been coming every year. They must have counted one for three on her. I was looking for her tonight, and that was her. Thank God I've seen some of you go into ministry, and there's many of you still at it, and Charles and others still at it. Oh, thank God for it.
Amen,
amen goes right there.
Why, yes.
But let me tell you, you hadn't done it without problems.
Amen.
You hadn't done it without difficulty, and you haven't done it without having the devil find out about it and try to rearrange your situation.
Yes.
But I'm glad greater is He that is in me than He that's in the world. Are you glad you're in the body of Christ? Say amen. Bless His name. Help me out, Jake. I pay you good to do this now. Help me out. Oh, yeah. I remember when I took the first church that I ever pastored, there was 28 people there. Had an auditorium that seat 800. They had 28. 18 of them was deacons. 18. Yeah. Woo. Is that all you can do? Woo. That means I had about 10 real people and 18 in charge. They let me know. They didn't say my name's John Smith or my name's Joe this or that. They said, I'm deacon so-and-so. I'm deacon so-and-so. I'm glad to meet you. I was 25 years old. I found out real quick, that they wasn't in my corner. They wasn't looking for what I was looking for. My problem was I started getting passionate.
Yeah, yeah.
People started getting saved, and I started bringing them in.
Yeah.
Sometimes they were the wrong kind.
Sometimes
they was the wrong culture. Sometimes they were just wrong period. But I was passionate. I just preached it and let it fall where it would. I preached on the streets of Augusta. I preached on the monument in front of the Majestic Theater and preached the gospel and had young'uns out there singing. The law came and got us all and took us down to the police station one night. Made us stay 2 hours and made us feel like criminals. I had about 14 or 15 kids with me, and they was all shaking. I said, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. When your mom and daddy finds out what this bunch has done, they're going to burn this jailhouse down, and I'm going to call somebody and tell them I got the matches. Somebody's coming after us. They're going to help us. I wasn't pastor of that church long. I didn't get to stay in the convention long enough to learn how to spell it. But I found out one thing. I found out passion is all you need to go through problems, and problems will take you through an education, and an education will take you back into excitement, and God will bless you, and you don't have nobody to thank for it but Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No. Number three is the last one. Whose glasses are these? Are they a woman's? All I can see is the mall in them. I borrowed them from somebody. I don't know who it is, but they I just see the mall. Sales are everywhere. Number three. Not only is there passion, not only is there problems, but then there's a purpose that equips you. A purpose that equips you. Listen to me, and I quit. When I first started out, I was passionate about what God gave me. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest as I can be with you. 42 years in the same place and 50 years in the ministry and pulling my hair out on Saturday night for this and that and the other. I want to tell you something. Sometimes I'm not as passionate now as I was when I started. You can think less of me because I ain't got much left for you to think less of anyway, so it don't make no sense, no difference. You can say, you ought not talk like that. Well, then I ought not tell the truth. Because there was times when I first started out, I was gung-ho. And I found out the older you get, the less whatever you do does it like it used to. First time I've sweated in a long time because I can't. The medicine they got me on took everything away. Took everything and moved it. Took everything and dismissed it. Messed it up. Sleep's gone. Trouble's there. Fear has come. I'm not supposed to be able to swallow in a year. They feed you with a tube when you have what I got. But I'm going to gnaw on the devil. I'm going to preach that book. I'm going to let it rip. I'm going to back up, and I'm going to do everything I can to take a run at it. If I know it's the last time, I'm going to give it my last shot. I'm going to be there every time I'm supposed to be. I'm going to be looking for God to do something miraculous. I'm going to watch God be God. I'm going to watch God hold me up. I'm going to watch God set me up. I'm going to watch God help me up. I'm just going to watch God be God. And Dr. Lee Robertson said, the worst that can happen to me is heaven. A doctor I got, he said, you're going to die. I said, you are too. A doctor telling me not to work hard. I said, how many patients you see a day? 14. And you not dying? He said, I want to tell you to quit, but I know you won't. I said, you picked up quick. You ought to play Jack Stones. You picked up quick. I didn't come here to quit. I didn't come here to rot. I didn't come here to lay down. I didn't come here to surrender. But to him. And that purpose that equips you. I found my purpose. I am of all men most delighted. I was 21 years old when God reached in and saved me out of hell. I was on my way to a godless eternity. He reached further down and I could reach up and brought me up out of a horrible pit, the psalmist said. Put my feet on a solid rock. Establish. Is anybody in here? Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Establish my going. And gave me a new song. Gave me a new song. And has put praise and honor and glory in my life. Many shall see it and fear. And shall trust in the Lord. You say, what if you have a stroke in the middle of the road? I'll just die on hard surface. It ain't no harder to pick me up in the middle of the road than it is in the middle of a cotton patch. I don't really care where it all comes down. I just want to know where it's all going to go up. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his hope. Thank God for the power. I don't know what to do. I'm done. I quit. The most pleasant person in this place is a person that knows God's purpose. You know exactly what God wants you to do. You know what? You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? Get ready to come back over here tomorrow night and do the same thing I did tonight. If you'll pray, I owe you one tonight. He'll tell you. We've been struggling. I mean struggling, trying to get medicine to work, struggling. I then got to the point where I just decided to pull out all of the pegs, pull out all of the sticks, pull out all the nerve, pull it all out and just go for him. Amen. Because nothing else matters. Amen. But knowing your purpose. Do you know your purpose? The most miserable person in this room is the person that don't know what God wants them to do. And I hate it. I've got some people, I've been their preacher for 40 years. I got a sanctuary full of 35 years. I got people everywhere 25 years. They've been sitting there and listening and becoming and changing and revamping and reviving and watching God do wonderful things. But the greatest thing God's ever done was showed me a purpose for my life. Amen. Saturday we had a youth rally. I had 11 kids come up to me that were just teenagers that used to sit on a chair just like that and dangle their little old feet in meetings. Every one of them came up and said, my mama laid me in the sawdust when I was little and you was preaching. She said, I want you to know the first time I ever really remember anything to do with God, the first time, my first acquaintance, well, fell off of your lips. I had to back up and let tears just fly. I said, thank God, honey. Here come another one and another one and another one and another one. Preacher, my daddy got saved. He was a drunk when he was in Atlanta. Preaching the word of God, he was drunk. We got us a brand new pot because you came and preached to us. I found my purpose. I found my purpose. I've had every kind of person try to get me involved in secular life. They wanted me to put my name on this, and they wanted me to get in this kind of pyramid and get in this kind of thing. You can get rich. You got the personality. You can sell it. You can do it. I said, you ain't got enough money to talk to me any longer. Shut up and get out of my face. I ain't looking for no job. I ain't looking for no money. I ain't looking for to get wealthy. I'm not worried about all of that. I've got me a home that's bright and fair. I got me a hope that's going to get me there. I got me a Savior that is God Almighty, and He lives where I live, and He loves me too. Just give the Lord praise tonight. We're done. We're finished. Father, we love you. I need a boost tonight, Lord, and you gave it to me. Thank you for a little boost. We shook it up. We stirred it up. And we're asking that you stir us now toward this altar. Thank you for people that love me. I feel just like the pastor of this camp meeting. I feel like the preacher here tonight that needed to be encouraged, and he needed to be enhanced, and he needed to be enabled, and he needed to be encouraged. I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for people that do love us and do care for us. Thank you for Brother Moneyhand. Thank you for these other men. Thank you for the years and years and years and years that Wade was here, and others. God, we thank you for them. We bless your dear name that you have been so good to us. We're unworthy. May tonight we find out that there's purpose. May we find out that there are problems. And may we find out that God Almighty has passion for us. I want my passion back for some things. Let me weep when I don't get to do for you what I ought to. Let me weep when I can't do what I ought to. Oh God, give me passion again. How about it, preacher? How about it, deacon? How about it, church member? How many of you get out of your seat tonight and come? I want to say, I want those benefits in my life. I want those three things in my heart. I want to be passionate. I've been just as limp-legged. I've been limp-spirited. I've been limp in my life. I've been limp in my walk. I've been limp in my spirit. I want God to stand me up straight and give me some passion. Give me some strength. Come on, come on. From the back to the front. Slip out from where you are. There's teenagers. There's couples. There's single people. All over this meeting tonight that needs a boost. Would you come? Would you come? Come on. That's it. That's it. Come on. Come on. That's it, son. Don't let nobody stop you. Don't let nobody halt you. Don't let nobody hold you back. Come on. Find you a place in this altar. Anybody that knows these folks is coming, come pray with them. Don't get in their stuff. Don't get in their business. Don't ask them nothing. Just pray for them and watch the Lord do great and mighty things. Way too many people sitting down. We need some people getting up. We need some people getting up. That's it. That's it. Come on. Come on. Find you a place in here. And let's start this thing off right by saying, Lord, give me some passion. Some of your marriage is going to pot. Some of your job is just, you're just going because you got to. Why don't you start going down there and work with passion? Why don't you let somebody see you do something for His glory? Why don't you let people see your testimony and witness? Don't have to tell them about it all the time. Show them about it. And God will help you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Too many people sitting. Too many people sitting. Too many people sitting. Too many people sitting. Come on. Come on. In Jesus' name. Get up from the back. Get up from the middle. Get up off of that seat. That's it. Walk to the inside, walk to the outside, but make sure you get down front. Find you a place and say, oh God, in Jesus' name, give me passion. Oh God, I need my purpose. Reveal it to me. I got problems, Lord. Okay, but I promise you, your passion will take care of your problem if you'll get your passion right. Get your purpose straightened out. Let God plan things in your life and quit planning what you're going to do. Stop planning where you going. What are you going to do and say? Let God. Let God. Oh, my soul, let God. Plan your life out from a prayer meeting on this altar tonight. Come on quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Please come quickly. All right, Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your hope. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the tears that fall from a saint's cheek. Thank you, Lord, for people who are eat up with God's word. People that love you. People that are all about what you're involved in. I believe there's some here tonight walking and sitting. I believe with all of my heart they're going to get in this thing this week. I pray it in Jesus' name. You see, the name that's above every name, the name at every which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That name that is above every name. That name that cannot fail. That name that cannot be replaced. That name that cannot miss the target. Hit the heart, Lord. Bring them to you for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name.
Stand with us. Right here's where my pastor would say, that lives. That lives. Right here's where I'll say, that'll help you live. That'll help you live. I'll tell you, we're not having this meeting. And we're not going to keep having this meeting just to change that number. But so that you and I might live and serve Him and walk with God in the days ahead. Hallelujah for the preaching of the Word of God. Go a praying. Come back in here tomorrow night looking for God to boost you. Hallelujah. Speak to this preacher. If you'd like any CDs, DVDs of the meeting, the radio table back at the back. You can check those fellas out. We have books of Brother Way, DVDs of the memorial service. Brother Brown has preaching tapes over here. You see Brother Jake about that. Good meeting, good beginning, but we ain't done. Shake hands, you go. You're at liberty.
Come back tomorrow night.
Amen.